This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we'll begin today with Governor Charlie Baker's announcement that the closure of non-essential businesses and the stay-at-home advisory are extended until May 18th.
We're all incredibly eager to move on from this phase of our lives, but if we act too soon, we could risk a spike in infections that could force our state to revert to serious restrictions again. And this scenario would be far worse for our economy and for our communities and for our people.
WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown was there and joins us now from our State House Bureau. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Steve, what struck you today from the governor's announcement on this extension? It didn't really seem in the last few days from hearing him that there was any way we were going to hit the original May 4th date.
Yeah, he's been saying for a long time that we need 2 solid weeks of downward trend for hospitalizations and some other factors. We simply ran out of calendar, so he really had no choice but to kick it out 2 weeks. So that resets the clock with 20 days now. Let's see if the key figures that he keeps an eye on go down. If they do, that'll be great. Then you can start looking at places where you can reopen, where you can get things going, or some areas where you may have to wait. He's always said that when we reopen, it's not just going to be flicking the switch and everybody goes back. They're going to have to be doing this in a phased-in manner.
Steve, you're at the briefings every day, and I cover them. Over the last few days, there's been a lot of pushback from the press about the governor waiting so long to make a statement that seemed to be inevitable. What was the governor's explanation?
Yeah, his explanation was that the rate of hospitalizations has just stagnated, and they're still too high. And that number has stayed that way for about 13 days. It has got to come down. I think he has been hoping that it would have come down a little bit sooner. We would look at those numbers every day that they'd come out from DPH, hoping, you know, for some sign of a downward trend, and we just hadn't seen it. Just plateaued, was flat, and going forward, and because of that, there was just no way that he was going to make any changes.
So the governor also named a 17-member advisory board for reopening. Can you tell us about why he did that and what he expects from this board?
Yeah, he expects them to be meeting every day pretty much over the next 20 days to put together some sort of a plan of how we're going to emerge from this. As I just said, we're not going to just flick the switch and say, okay, everybody, go back to work. They're going to plan it out and figure out the best way to do it so that we can get the economy going again, but at the same time, not create a situation where we're going to all of a sudden boost infections and maybe have a second wave of COVID-19 infections.
So, Steve, my understanding is they're actually having their first Zoom meeting right now. Who is on that task force, and who's maybe missing that maybe should be there?
Sure. It's made up of 17 members, which is actually kind of small for a task force. They purposefully did that because they got a lot of work to do between now and the 18th. That's when this report is due. So they want to get them to work. If you get a big group like that, sometimes it takes a long time. There's a lot of high-tech folks on this. I'm just looking. A lot of people from the healthcare industry. There's some municipal leaders. Dan Rivera, the mayor of Lawrence, is on this. Also, the mayor of East Hampton is on it. And Mayor Marty Walsh's chief of staff is on this. Some folks from manufacturing. I'm surprised I'm not seeing a lot more retailers. The only retailer on this is the owner of a bookstore on Nantucket, of all places. That's the only retailer I'm seeing on that. So I'm kind of surprised about that. I thought that they might have some folks from the legislature on this. And I also thought, you know, again, maybe some of the bigger groups, Associated Industries of Massachusetts or the Massachusetts Retailers Association. I thought they would have a representative from those organizations on here. Instead, they're just going to the actual people that are the CEOs and the heads of the various companies that they've selected.
So in just a couple minutes, we'll be speaking here on Radio Boston with the head of the Massachusetts Retailers Association. I'll be interested in his comments. Steve, before I let you go, it doesn't really seem, if the report from this group is due by on May 18th, it doesn't really seem that the economy will magically open then. So what is the implication of a rollout that comes after that, and how likely is it the most non-essential businesses will be closed beyond mid-May.
Well, again, it all depends on how they can do it in terms of, you know, which businesses can they reopen and have little impact on creating more infections. So those will get the green light first. Some of the other ones, I think, you know, anything where you're going to have a lot of people gathering together, those are going to have to hold off for a while. It's going to be phased in, and it's going to take a little while.
That is WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Tiziana.
And as I just mentioned, joining us now for Reaction is John Hurst. He is the president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. They're a statewide trade association with 4,000 members. John, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Tiziana, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm well, thanks, and I'm glad to have you. What was your reaction to the extension today?
Well, it wasn't a surprise. We anticipated, just like just about everybody did. What we were hoping for, I'll be perfectly honest with you, was a little more freeing up of what mom-and-pop retailers can do in the state. We have And we're going to be making that clear to the task force. We have determined that Massachusetts is an outlier when it comes to small businesses, small retailers actually fulfilling orders from their customers. From a lock store, just the ability to take an internet order, a phone order, an email order, and ship out of that closed store. You know, whether it be flowers for Mother's Day or jewelry or clothing.
John, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are you saying that we're more restrictive here in the Commonwealth and that fewer retailers are able to do that kind of thing?
We are the most restrictive state in the country when it comes to small businesses being able to actually sell their inventory, you know, from behind locked doors. No other state is as strict as Massachusetts, not even New York, not any other New England state. So we need to have some relaxation of that to allow these small businesses a chance to sell their inventory and reconnect with their customers.
How has that impacted your members, John?
Well, it's been troubling. You know, the first 3 weeks you think you can just tread water and get by, and then 3 weeks quickly turned into 7 weeks, and now 7 weeks are looking at 9 weeks. We have 4,000 members. We've had some that have done all right. We have grocers. We have pharmacies. We have hardware stores. Some have done better than others and are so-called essential. We have some restaurants that have transitioned to curbside. But these others, these non-essentials that, you know, that sell, whether it be clothing or jewelry or furniture, you know, some more durable goods. They actually are either they're not selling anything, or frankly, they are ignoring the governor's order. It's troubling because they have all the online big competition that is shipping all this material in out of state and right to someone's doorsteps. And so the small businesses need to have the very same latitude, whether they're selling books, Mother's Day flowers, jewelry, clothing, and the like.
John, I hope that this doesn't sound like a crass question. I don't mean it to. But is there a date out there on the horizon where your 4,000 members just can't make it if reopening doesn't happen before then?
Well, you know, it all depends on the company. You know, how much of a reserves did you have? And how successful were you with the PPP? 92% of our members have applied for the PPP, and here's the real rub on that.
That's the Small Business Relief Fund, right?
Yeah, the Paycheck Protection Program out of the SBA, and here's the problem with that here in Massachusetts. If you are 100% closed and you have no sales, you have no payroll, right? If you have no payroll under that PPP, that money that you get from the SBA, you must pay back. It becomes a loan, not a grant. Now, if you're a law firm or a insurance agent or whatever working out of your home, your payroll really hasn't changed, right? But if you're a small mom-and-pop jeweler and you're closed and you have no income coming in, you don't have payroll. And that requirement, you know, you have to spend 75% of that money, the PPP money, on payroll. So you have the federal requirements on spending on payroll, and then you have the state requirements that says that you must be closed and you cannot serve your customer. And that is pushing a lot of these small businesses to the edge, as you talk about, of perhaps not being able to survive, because the last thing they need, the last thing they want is another loan. They needed a grant to get them through this crisis that was not of their making.
That sounds incredibly challenging. What's your communication with the governor on this, and what would you like to see come out of this advisory group that's working on the report for May 18th?
Well, the first thing we want to do is to make it clear that these small businesses can indeed fulfill orders from a locked store and serve their customers, whether it's delivery, shipping, or even a curbside. Most states, all the northeastern states from New York through Maine, have now instituted curbside, just like we have for our restaurants. Allow them to sell without any face-to-face contact with customers some goods. We need to do that now, like this week.
For May 18th, were you surprised? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And for May 18th, we need to learn from what we learned from our hardware stores, our grocers, our pharmacies. You know, we instituted percentage of occupancy standards. Like for grocery stores, it's 40% occupancy. We have hand sanitizers, washing hand and or hand washing facilities. We have requirements for staff, and a lot of communities have requirements for consumers on face coverings. We have to really apply what we learned for the essential businesses to the non-essential, and probably limit the number of people that come into the store at any given time. Maybe in some cases it's by appointment only. But we need to step by step start reopening the economy, because look, the consumer is 70% of the economy, and we've told the consumer that they shouldn't be spending. And if they're not spending, they're not spending with these small businesses. They're not generating any tax revenue for our cities and towns and our state government. We need them to begin step by step to feel more comfortable health-wise that they can safely spend money for themselves and their families and their loved ones. And they can do that by also investing in their communities and their main streets.
That's John Hurst. He's the president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. John, I really appreciate you being with us today, and we'll be thinking about your members over these next couple weeks as the report unfolds.
Thank you very much.